Welcome to the Cullamundra Sermoncast. This message was first delivered live at Cullamundra Church of Christ.
Who hadn't didn't notice at this stage, and I were part of the wedding party. We were bridesmaid and bridegroom. No, groomsmen. So this is new for us. I'm used to standing behind the microphone. So I was in my uncomfort zone. It was right out there. But you've got to understand that this was no ordinary wedding. This was a wedding that was an African wedding. It was awesome. But you see, as an African wedding, some of the requirements is that the wedding party actually dance down the aisle. Now, white man can't dance. And these hips don't swing like the rest. And there was one young guy, and he was about this big, young Josh, and he knew how to dance. So he's walking down there. And then comes the next people, and there. And out comes Mark and Steve. I'm panicking about this idea of going to this wedding that was going to have all these people, of which some I knew and some I didn't, a lot of African pastors, and in was going to come the Australian Steve Hall and Mark Hall dancing down. I was panicking, but that was only a little bit. You see, it was two steps going down, but going out, there was a celebration, African style. It was good in the whole works, and out comes the wedding party. This time, you've really got to dance. And I'm thinking, no. So everyone's going down the aisle. They're all dancing and they're whooping and wooing. And out comes Steve and Mark. This time I did three steps. But that wasn't all. It was worse than that. We got to the reception. And at the reception, this beautiful building about this size. And there's all these people in there, great people, love them all, but they brought the wedding party in couple by couple into a room. It was like the Christians being put into the lion's den, right? And you had to walk in, and it was a little bit like, so you think you can dance? And we have to come in and dance in front of everybody while they're clapping. It wasn't good. Now, as you can see, I am starting to panic. My heartbeat is raising quite high at this level, and it's going for weeks, and I'm thinking, I really don't want to do this. This is not me. I'm a very introverted person. I am. Anyway, so I didn't like this very much, and I was really struggling, and I met with a friend, another pastor, and I said to this pastor, look, this is how I'm feeling, and I'm a bit nervous about this, and it's not going good. And this pastor's friend said something very significant. Said, Steve, can you picture yourself doing this? And I said, no. But we did. We did it, and it worked out. But the thing was that she helped me with, as Maggie with, was this idea that, can you see it happening? Vision is a powerful thing. Vision of what you can see and what you can't see has an incredible influence on how you feel and what you do. Vision can be defined in a number of ways. In business terms, it's seen as being something that you can actually see as a future. In fact, one definition I've got here from a person who's a guru on corporate vision says it's a realistic, credible, attractive future for an organization. But I want to suggest to you that it's bigger than even that, because it's a personal thing as well as a corporate thing. And I want to challenge us today on Vision Sunday, what's the vision we have for ourselves? Because to me, vision is the picture formed within me. It might be a picture formed in me of what I see in the future. It might be a picture formed in me about who I am now. In the Bible, there's a number of definitions of vision. One that everybody uses, that, as you know, if anyone knows me for a little bit, knows this gets right up my nose, that we misquote the scripture that says, without a vision, the people perish. And we use that as an idea that why we have to have vision. The concept there, if you look at the real meaning of it, it actually says, without revelation. In other words, if God has not revealed things to you, you have no boundaries and you run amok. So vision is God's, in the scripture, looks at the idea that it's God's revelation to you. Without revelation, the people will perish. We need a revelation of God within us. Later on, if you go into Revelation, you discover that vision is seen as a picture. It's actually a picture which has got meaning to it. And hence we're told to have eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. So it's a visual thing. It's an inner visual thing. So I want to challenge you today, as I challenge myself, what's the vision that you have of who you are, of your life, and what God sees? There was a lady by the name of Helen Keller, a lady who had suffered from blindness, who was asked, what's worse than being born blind? And she said, the only thing worse than being born blind is to be able to see and have no vision. You see, it's one thing to be able to see with your eyes, but it's another thing to have vision. When I stand at a cave, right, I look at that cave, and that cave, to me, I get a vision of if I go in there, that thing's going to fall down. I get a vision that I'm going to get stuck in there. I get a vision that I'm not going to be able to breathe, I'm not going to get out, and I have a vision of danger. Do you know what? I won't go in that cave. It will hold me back. Whereas a friend of mine who stands at that cave goes, sees a vision of adventure, of seeing new things, of experiencing something great, of a challenge, and they will rush down. You see how vision of what we see of ourselves, of what we see of other people, of what we see of circumstances, has the ability to drive us or to hold us back. Here's some ideas that I've picked up, but I did some reading this week. Did you know that... Well, hang on, let me just go back one further. It was a video I was going to show you today. Has anyone seen the movie Pay Forward? Has anyone seen that? I wanted to get hold of it. It's a great video. There's a clip in that video. It's about a young boy that decides to pay forward, to do good things, and hence it comes back. So paying things forward. But the beginning of the movie, he's in his class, and his teacher, the grade 7 teacher, writes on the board their assignment. And their assignment is this: think of an idea that will change the world. Space. And put it into action. And he said, what does that come? What comes to you when I say that? And someone said, crazy? Impossible? Too hard? And then he said this. He said, the realm of possibility exists in each one. Where? And he points to his head. Here. The realm of possibility. In other words, our possibilities, because we know that in Christ, all things are possible. But the thing that holds us back is what happens up here. Let me read some of these quotes for you. Back in Thomas Watson, the chairman of IBM in 1943, he said this: I think there is a market for maybe 5 computers in the world. Ken Olson, president and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, said in 1977, there is no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home. How many people have got computers on them today? Western Union, a memo went out in 1876. The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. Or what about Decca Recording Company? They turned down the Beatles in 1962, and this was their reason. We don't like their sound, and guitar music is on the way out. Or how about Charles Jewell, commissioner of the US Office of Patents, said in 1899, everything that can be invented has been invented. How we can be so restricted. But could that be possible in our lives? Is it possible that we think, well, this is it? Is it possible that even in my Christian walk, I think that's as far as we go? Because I believe that God says, I've got a bigger picture. A picture that's greater than all of that. Let's look at this scripture for a moment. It's a scripture from 2 Corinthians 4:18. And the scripture says, now remember, Paul is in prison at this time. Paul is struggling. He's actually doing it tough. And yet this is what he says. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul was saying, I don't just want to look at what I've got here. I want to look at things eternal. Moses comes along to God and he sees a people who are caught up in captivity. No way out. And yet he gets a vision from the eternal God who says, I'm going to set my people free. There's Nehemiah who sees a wall that's fallen down, a city that's in disgrace, one that's supposed to be bringing glory to God. And people saw it as useless, hopeless, as a disgrace. And yet he came along and saw a vision of it being built up again. Jesus had 5,000 people in front of him, ready to feed them. The disciples said they had no food, let's send them home. But Jesus had a vision of them being fed, and he gave them something to feed them with. You see, God says, I've got a bigger picture. Here's a scripture that I read to you in 2010 on our Vision Sunday. And it's relevant again today. Ephesians 5:14 from the Message. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Coffins are places where you don't live anymore. Coffins are the place where you stay still. We've been prophesied over this place that we need to get out of a rut. A rut is simply a coffin without any ends. We need to get out of. And then it says this, Christ will show you the light. You've got to get out of the situation we're in so that God can show us the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. I want to suggest to you that God wants to give us fresh vision. Maybe your vision of Him has got a bit cloudy. Maybe our vision of our walk with Him has just got the same old, same old. Maybe the challenge isn't there anymore. Is it time for a fresh vision, a renewed vision? I want to give you three easy steps that I asked the team just to, can I ask the team to come up? Is that possible? We're going to reflect on this a little bit. The worship team. What did I say? Yes, the worship team. Not that team. The worship team. Can you just come up? We're going to just get you to play that song one more time. But I want to give you three things that I believe helps us get a fresh vision. The first one is this. Know where you're at now. All through Psalms, David is saying, this is where I'm at, God. This is how I'm feeling, God. This is what's going on, God. Nehemiah went out and he looked at the situation as it was. Moses understood what was happening. Jesus came into a world and he knew where it was at. Know where you're at. God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm going through. The difference between a corporate vision and a personal Christian walk vision is that one, it's done in relationship one-on-one with Jesus. Christian corporate does too. But this particular one is you and Jesus. And you say, Jesus, first of all, this is where I'm at. We've been doing the same old, same old. I've just got a vision for retirement. That's about it. Get me to retirement and I'm happy. And God says, you never retire. Not with me. We've got great opportunities ahead of us. But this is where I'm at, God. This is where I'm at. The second way of renewing your vision is not know where you're at, but then ask God to tell you what he sees. Ask God to show you. David said that, search my heart. Paul said that later on, when he was pushing towards the goal set before him, even though he was doing it tough. Interesting, the last letter that Paul wrote was the one to 2 Timothy. He was in jail just before his execution. Timothy is struggling in his ministry. And you read the first chapter and it's all about encouragement to spur on what you can do. Tell people about Jesus. He still had the vision, even though he was facing death. Why? Because it wasn't his. It was God's. So I just kicked the communion over. One, know where you're at. Two, ask God to show you. And this is the third step. Make a commitment to step out of it. You see, we quite often get visions and then we go, oh, I can't do this. I am convinced God has got a vision for this place. I am convinced. I have no doubt. I've seen it. I've felt it. But quite often we don't get there because we go, what about? What about? What about? This couldn't happen. We don't need telephones. No one needs computers. But you've got to step out in faith and believe. The only way you know if God's in something is by starting to move. And you see him. And if you start moving and he's not there, you know he's not there. And you pull back. Step out in faith. It's a faith thing. I'm going to ask the guys to sing that song one more time. I want you just to be still. Before we go and talk about where the church is looking at this next year, I want you to stop and say, Spirit of God, give me a fresh vision about my family, about my life, about what you've called me to do. I've got so busy doing stuff. The vision's got a bit cloudy again. About you, that my worship. Oh, man, I hope you're ready for these connect groups. I've been doing your studies. I've been just finishing them up. Man, God has hit. This has got the hand of God on it like nothing else. And God has really moved me deeply in the last few weeks. And I'm hoping that you get a touch of that. But when you come before God and you get a fresh vision of who he is, look out. Look out. Something happens. Close your eyes. I'm going to get the guys just to sing this song. Let's just hear it and allow the Spirit of God to give you a fresh vision. Father, as we come before you, we're just going to ask. We know where we're at. We don't have to spend much time thinking about that. You even know where we're at too. You know what our lives hold. You know the busyness of our lives. You know the many things that we've put in. I dare to ask you now, Lord. You don't want us to be still and do nothing. You actually want us to live. You came to give us life, which means that you've come to give us action too. And I want to just ask you now, God, by your Spirit, maybe challenge us, speak to us, give us fresh vision. Father, there's some that have just hit brick walls. They've been running fast, they've just hit a brick wall. Like they've just run out of the food to give to the masses. Or would you give them a vision? Speak into their lives. Some here that are just taking Christianity as being something that I have to do, but haven't seen it as an opportunity of actually seeing the impossible happen as they live hand in hand with God. Father, would you take us back? Show us a vision. Not within our capabilities, but within your capability. Amen. Amen. Thanks, team. I'll have you up back in a minute. So what about Kalamunda Church of Christ? What do we see? We're going to try and give you a bit of a picture of what we see Kalamunda Church of Christ. And I trust that today you see it more than just a program. Get rid of that. It's more than a program. This is a heart thing. Our vision statement for Kalamunda Church of Christ has been the same, and it always is. Has been for a long time. Our mission is to build a community that impacts the world and grows the kingdom of God. That's our mission. That's what we're always trying to do. But the vision of where we see us being is we see ourselves that Kalamunda Church of Christ would be an irresistible Christian community. That's where people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our vision. And you notice the word community, because community means that it's not about people that just turn up on a Sunday. That's not community. Real community in the Bible, real community in God's view, is people connected together. As Peter said the other week, it's about people being on the same page. If church is about coming on Sunday, we don't understand church. If we think church is about finding a place where I can find out more about Jesus, you don't know church. Go back to your Bible and read it. It's about strong relationships between people that have got a common purpose. What is Kalamunda Church of Christ? Let me tell you, we defined it as being a community with a commission, which means we have common mission that is charismatic in its style, contemporary in its approach. Uh-oh, I've forgotten the fifth one. This is only four. That's our four C's. Whew, there's five other things. Four C's. That's who we are. And that's what, when you become part of the body, that's who we are. Kalamunda Church of Christ is that. And what's our mission? What's our vision? Is that together, as we have those relationships that build each other up, that strengthen each other, that prefer one another, that promotes one another, that sees the gifts in each other and wants them to come out because they're going to glorify God. Why? So that others would come to know Jesus. What's a full disciple of Christ? One that is being sent. That's a full disciple of Christ, is one that's been sent. So we look at, well, where does that all fit in? Where's this team? There's a staff and there's a leadership team. We got together. We spent a day out praying. We then spent another day talking through heart stuff. And one of the scriptures that God gave us very clearly for this year and the year ahead, in the years ahead, is this one here. It's when Jesus, we've got the Pharisees, he's got the teachers around him. And he says this. Jesus heard about it and spoke up. He heard them being criticizing what he was doing. And he says, who needs a doctor? We've got one here. The healthy or the sick? And he said, you know what? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. That's the message interpretation of that. Or if you want to look at it from Mark in the New King James, it says something like this. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's talking to a bunch of guys who we know, because it says in the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sick. So what was he saying? You don't need me? No. He's saying, you don't think you need me. You think you've got it together. Therefore, I haven't come for those that think they've got it together. I've got coming to those that are saying, oh, God, I need you. I want you. Those that want to learn. He said, I've come for those who know. You go to a doctor because you feel you're sick. You don't go to a doctor if you don't feel you're sick, even though you might be sick. You see, the concept here is Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm going to pour my time and energy into those that want to grow in me. We looked at that and we felt an urgent call on us to say, as a church, are we serious about making and encouraging people in their relationship with Jesus? Are we serious about that? Or are we just coming to church and hearing some good messages and going in hearing some great teachings and go, wow, that's great teaching, I love that, but it hasn't actually changed my life? Are we going and enjoying all these new things we're learning and going to courses and seminars, but no one else is coming into the kingdom? Because Jesus said, I didn't come for that. I actually came to bring people into relationship with me. And that was our challenge. Are we going to be serious about that? So we, after our discussion, we then said, our purpose as a church over this next few years needs to be this. That through a series of purposeful connections, people form relationships that ultimately lead to a relationship with Jesus. It's about being purposeful in bringing us and others into relationship with Jesus. That we would be purposeful and that we would set up a series of connectedness. So when people come to church, it's not about getting bottoms on seats. It's not about getting more money in the kitty. It's about inviting people in so that there's a process of coming into relationship with Jesus. And let's be purposeful about it. We looked at all the things we're doing. So how can we do that? Well, the greatest example of that was Jesus. Jesus had five connecting spots, points. Number one, his initial contact. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus came into this world in the same way you and I did, through childbirth. He could have just turned up. He could have just gone, boop, I'm here. He could have just, it could have just been a miraculous form of God just being there, but he didn't. He chose to come into the world that he would connect in with mankind in the way that we lived, he lived. He ate. He went and sat around a table with his family and ate his meal at night. He lived like you and I lived. He had finances to buy and purchase things, and he just like you and me. He made the initial connection. In bringing people through a series of connections, our first connection is those relationships in the world in which we live. The second point of connection Jesus had was he built a platform for ministry. In other words, he became a rabbi, and he became a rabbi of authority, and he started to teach, and people gathered together a place where he could minister to them. And hence miracles happened. Signs and wonders went on because they gathered together. He had a platform of ministry, the gathering together. Our first place of contact is in the gathering. The second place of contact was he made disciples through small groups. He had 12 people and he made disciples. Through relationship, through discussion, through experience, through shared experience. They actually grew together. That was the third place. So they got to the gathering, they became disciples. The next point of contact was he gave them ownership. He gave him opportunities to serve. He said, I want Judas, I want you to look after the money. I want you to look after this. I want you to go and feed these people. He gave them jobs to do. In fact, he actually sent them out to go and do ministries around the towns. He gave them ownership. Serving is not doing church a favour. Serving is actually taking ownership of what God wants to do. And the last thing he did, the fifth place of growth and connectedness, was he then sent them out. Matthew 28:19. Go into all the world. Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That was the process Jesus went through. We're suggesting we can do the same. I'm going to ask our leadership team, our staff, to come up, and I'm just going to interview them, and I want them to tell you, to share with you, how it all fits together and how we make this model possibly work in this place as we dream about a church that's not just sitting in Kalamunda, but actually being an effective tool of the living God to actually bring people into relationship with him. Okay, so we have up here on our stools, we have, I sit on that one. Where's young? Is Ben coming up? He's not. Ben's sick. You're taking Ben's spot? Cool. This is Anna. This is our team. We've got Anna and Ben. They're our interns, and they're also able to do some stuff for us around here. So Ben is in his learning experience. He's also looking at developing the church services. And Anna is also helping us out with some the creative design and web page stuff. Then we have Lisa, who is our children's pastor, who looks after our children's ministry. Christine, who heads up CVK, our arm into local community, but also helps heads up our worship team. Joe, our youth pastor, and then Peter, our community care pastor. So I'm just going to ask them just to give you a bit of a rundown of what they see is happening and how this model works. So first of all, Christine, tell us a little bit about... Sorry? Christine. Tell us a little bit about what is happening with your area and how that is the first place of connectedness. CVK, Community Vision Kalamunda.
Okay, well, Community Vision Kalamunda, as Steve said, is the community arm of the church. And our vision for, not just for this year, but for the future, is to have this place as a hub of excitement in the community. So a place where people can access a whole range of different services and programs, from little kids to older people as well. Currently, CVK is running a whole bunch of programs out in the community, but I think it's fair to say that a good way to connect in the community is not just through a program, but also through your neighbours, your workplace, parents at school, that type of thing. So we're really encouraging people to get out into the community to connect with other people, whether it be through a CVK program, and yes, we do need lots and lots of help in that area if you're interested, but also just in your own lives as well. We think that's a good start.
So Christine, just could you just give a bit of an idea of some of the programs, because I know you've got lots on the boil. What are some of the programs that you've got looking like happening this year?
We've been running a few playgroups for a while. We've still got a playgroup at Kalamunda Christian on a Thursday, and there'll be another one starting at the church again. Our Connect seminars, some of you have attended our Starting Points parenting program. We have another one running on the 29th of February, and we hope to run them every term, as well as we are continuing to look for other seminars. We are still, I think we've spoken before about an AusKick program, which we are still looking to pilot in second term. A lot of kids can't play AusKick in Christian families because it's on a Sunday morning, so we're looking at facilitating that. Also, we have another project. If anyone was involved with the project at Kalamunda High School or Wollaston in the last couple of years, we have another one at Wollaston Primary starting in Term 2. And 40-hour famine, we're working with Joe this year in getting the 40-hour famine, Kalamunda Famine Village going. And yeah, there's a few other things on the radar, but our first start as well is to really formalise CVK to get that moving so that we can start...
So what's the other ways that individuals can make that first connection? I think you hinted on it just now. But what's, you know, it's more than just the CVK programs. So what's other ways in the community?
Other ways in the community, well, I guess whenever you're in the company of other people is a good start. In workplaces, making connection with people in workplaces, your neighbours, at school, all sorts of...
So it's making those relationships that are significant, that hopefully will bring us to a place that if the door opens, we can invite them into the next connecting spot. Pete, the next connecting spot is our gathering on a Sunday. That would be what we would probably call the platform of ministry. So how does that work with the foyer?
Well, the foyer at the front there, it's such a great meeting place from there. It literally covers every aspect of the service from the very beginning when you walk through the door to when you leave, when you meet up for coffees afterwards. So it's a vital place of connecting one to another. And it's an area we've been working on a lot over the last couple of years, of particularly for newcomers and visitors to feel like they're welcomed, to feel like they've come home into the place. And the foyer is a great place to do that. And after the service, with the connections after cups of coffee, with cups of coffee and the feast Sundays that we've had, all takes place in the foyer. It's a place where we connect together as brothers and sisters, and we can welcome in new people into it.
And so welcoming new people, you've got that welcome pack that you've worked on, and you've got other processes in place.
Yeah, that's right. We've been working hard on the new welcome pack, and that's beginning to show fruit now, and people are getting something. Instead of just a little printed up flyer thing that we used to do, it's getting more and more professional and just that more attractive again on that, and about making people feel valued when they come in. And that welcoming ministry is incredibly powerful. I hear so many stories. And it's daunting to come into a place of 200-odd people as a visitor. So if you, those few moments when you walk through the door are vital in a place for people to feel they're connecting.
And so once the people come through the foyer, the next part is in the service here. Now, Ben's not here right now, but Anna, can you speak on behalf of Ben on that? Or I can hint towards some things, but tell us about then what happens in here.
Okay, well, the Sunday services, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to pull it all together. And so over the past year, Ben and Steve have been working on making that happen, making it work, making it run smoothly. We've been adding things like media, the adverts. So there's been lots of changes, and there's hopefully going to be more changes throughout this year as well to just improve the quality of the service.
So the idea is that when people come in, there is a purpose behind what we're doing, and there's a process. And we'll be asking people regularly if they're given an opportunity to give their lives to the Lord or to recommit their life every Sunday, because this is the first, or if you like, the second place of connectedness is actually going to happen here. And so we'll be running series. Instead of just, we'll be running four series this year. One is going to be Knowing God, which we're going to tell you a bit about in a moment. Another one is How to Live with God, looking at the red letters of Jesus through the book of John. Then we're going to be looking at, what about the experience of God? So we're going to be looking at stories of people's experience of God in their lives, and following a book by, I think it's Blackaby, on the concept of experiencing God. And then we'll also be looking at, well, how do I share God? How do I share this, what I have? And we'll be looking more at the missions. And so that's our four themes. And all the way through that, there's a gospel message in that. And that's what we're going to be planning on. And our worship is going to be fairly focused on that too, isn't it?
Yeah, our worship, we're really... We started last year in trying to improve our worship in terms of, well, musically, but also that it's lively and it's engaging. So the aim of our worship is to bring you guys into a place of worship and to lead you into that area. We're trying to look at upbeat praise songs so that it generates some excitement, but then to have spirit-led worship as well. And our team as well, we've got quite a strong worship team. We've got about 30 people, but we're still got holes. But the idea as well is that anyone who's on that worship team is to connect within the team as well. So we have our own Worship Connect group that's starting up as well, which anyone's welcome to be part of. But, our worship is very...
And so it's important for us too that we actually create an atmosphere of worship within the service. Because when you worship, when you allow God in your worship in this place, when you speak out words of declaration, when we get lost in God, It builds a whole environment that when people walk in this place, it's not about up on the stage, it's about us together saying we want visitors. When they walk in this place, they can't help but know the presence of God. They can see the presence of God in my face, in the way that I express my worship or speak out in prayer. We don't want to take away the value of worship. We're going to increase the value of worship because we believe that's where the presence of God really hovers around. For the next place of connectedness is really our specialist ministries. I'm going to come back to the small groups in a minute, Pete, because I might get these guys to talk. But obviously the other part of connectedness is getting our children connected into where we're going. So Lisa, give us a little bit of a picture of how do the children fit into this whole model of connectedness?
Well, Jesus told us in the New Testament that let little children come to me and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God. And in the Old Testament, we're told that we need to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So our vision for the children in the Sunday services is to inspire them to live for God. It's to teach them biblical truths and values. It's to really try to encourage community amongst the children, something that they'll always keep with them, and to have fun in a safe and nurturing environment. Last year, we successfully had outreaches in the community for girls' club, boys' nights and junior youth group, and we'll be wanting to implement those again this year. And the other thing that we did was have the family fun days once a term, which really was a great integration of the community people that came along to the kids' clubs and to bless the children that were already in the church with bouncy castles and farm animals and the bus. It really did bless our church community. We also want to bring in the same mission focus in the children's church that big church is coming, like the 40-hour famine and the other things that are the main focus for big church. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. It's awesome. There's some good things happening. What about our youth? Youth are another significant part of our local community, and connecting into our youth is important.
Absolutely. Our vision is to see a community that is a gathering of young people gathered together and willing to make an impact and influence our community and the world. And we are going to do that through a couple of things. We are connecting to our community through our Friday night ministries. We run the Friday night ministries here. It's going to be fun every single night. We do things like pool parties, lantern stock, and bowling.
Who was the
like
big
that.
Guy diving in the water? Is that...
That's probably...
No.
I did not see a thing.
Right.
We do our Friday night ministry. The heart of that ministry on Friday night is that we can connect with our community. We're not happy just be, you know, just people look inward. We want to be connecting to the larger community out there. We're blessed with chaplains in our local schools, and there are three local schools that surround us. You know, we are in a good place where we can truly look outward and really impact our community. So that's a vision for our young people to adopt that and share a common heart and vision to make an impact. On top of that, we believe that that's our way of connecting with the community. We also want to connect as a community of young people with each other. We have a Youth Arise Revolution, which happens once every Sunday, where youth have opportunity to meet each other and have a spiritual dialogue with each other. We also have an opportunity for young people to grow in their connectedness with God through our discipleship teams and our Youth Arise Connect, which will happen in various times during the week, where youth have the opportunity to share their life and they share their life and they walk with God with one of our leaders, reading the Bible together, reading prayer together. So there it is. That's how we do it. We connect with community, Friday night ministries. We connect with each other, Sundays, Youth Rise, once every fortnight, and we connect with God through the discipleship team and Youth Rise Connect.
And the big vision for the future is one day of creating a youth academy where young people will become leaders of our local community.
Absolutely. I think the heart of any great youth ministry is to see our young people be willing to take a stand and really make an impact and influence in our world. Is it beyond our grasp? I don't think so.
It's good. And so with all this then, we connect, but there's another significant part. People come to that, we connect outside, and one of the visions that we have, it's still the same, even with community on the rise, it's the same vision, that we would be a hub in the community where people are coming and going, making connections. And then from that, we come to the gatherings, and from that, we go to the connect up into these sport activities. But we also have set up a thing called connect groups. So Peter, share with us a little bit about how people connect in through connect groups.
Okay, connect groups are going to be a vital part the life of this place. For those of you here last week, you would have heard my message on those, and I believe it's available to listen if you need to. But fundamentally, it's a place where you can move to that different level of connectedness, the different level that above what you can do on a Sunday morning here. Being able to take in the messages that are being preached. It's very hard on a Sunday morning to grasp the whole concept. So it's a time to be able to disseminate and work out how all this stuff works into your life. So they're a very, very important part. They start next week is the first week of them. As on the table in the foyer, there is sign-up forms for you to join. If you've already been part of a group before, then still put your name down. Or maybe you might want to try a different group this time. The beauty of what we're doing this time is it's term by term, as are the messages. So each term they're going to be relaunched and removed. So it gives two great opportunities. One is to be able to get to know some new people within the church by trying a different group in a different term. But more importantly, particularly for new people, it's a great place to feel comfortable to connect in rather than trying to muscle in to something that's been going for years. To join into something new. So they're a very exciting concept. Just run for this term. It'll be a six-week term. So it's 6 weeks of your life to commit to it. But the growth and the potential for your own life through these is going to be exciting. And Steve has already shared some of the material that he's been looking at. It's going to be very, very powerful with the potential to literally change your life.
Mm. And the significance about connect groups is that they make it easy for new people to connect.
Absolutely.
Because they start four times a year.
Yeah.
And they can sign up. So make sure that you're part of that. And we want as many people to know as we can. Not because we want the numbers, but that there's a strong connectedness and people getting on the same page. And then the last place of connectedness is the sending. And I haven't got Alan up here at the moment, but one of our significant parts of sending is our world changers. World changers is the arm of the church, which is reaching out to beyond our local community, as well as our country and our world. We believe that was a God-given vision a few years ago. We've had faith promise for many years, and we felt the Lord saying, I want you to invest. The only people who are going to reach as missionaries into our community are us. And so we felt that we need to invest into our local community. We need to invest into our country in training up people for missions, and as well as for church planting, and then also about reaching to the ends of the world. And we want to give people the opportunity. One of my goals, one of my desires, one of my visions would be that we would see people rising up from here and going out. Jeff Hall, my brother, and Di, they're probably one of the significant ones that we've actually have grown through this connectedness and have been sent out. And now they're moving on to China. We're going to be sending them and praying for them. They're going to be moving and doing ministry in China. A couple that have grown up and gone out. Mike Alberty, another one that has grown up and gone out and now is ministering in Youth for Christ. We've got Ben and Anna who are studying and learning to be pastors of churches. That's all part of being sent out and growing. We've got people going on YWAM. We have Rebecca at YWAM with De Silva at the moment. We have people that rise up and go out. That's what we want to see happen, as well as those ministries that we are supporting. There's an opportunity this year to go to Uganda, taking a team to Uganda in July. We're also planning another team to go to South Hedland in August to go and do some work up there with our Aboriginal people. We want to give people opportunities to keep that growing and keep that connectedness. When you start doing that, you can't help but want to grow in God. And Anne is also working heavy on our webpage and promotions because we want people to see who Kalamunda Church of Christ is. So thank you, team. You've done well. So just in summary, that's our vision. Our vision is to see us as a community working together, giving opportunities for connectedness, where we become a hub in the community through our own personal relationships at work and our neighbours to the activities that we do. A vision that one day there would be activities happening here every day of the week, people coming and going, and that Kalamunda Church of Christ would be known as a significant part of serving our local community. And from those relationships that they come to the gatherings, and in the gatherings they will hear the gospel. They have opportunities to respond. We've got a special connect group set up to go for new believers that will always be there. Peter Goodall's going to be running that. That the connect groups Oh boy, I'm looking forward to these. The connect groups, a significant place of connectedness, all on the same page, working together with the idea that we want to connect together and connect with God and connect others into that relationship and grow. And then there's also that opportunity of serving. On your chairs, you'll see these new connect cards. They're going to be out every Sunday because it's an opportunity where people who are visiting, people who are just been coming here for a while but never had a chance to say anything, can tick and say, you know what, I'd like to know more about Jesus. I'd like to be baptised. I'd like to connect into a life group or a connect group. I'd like to connect into serving. You know, one of the big things about connectedness is serving. The more you serve, the more you get involved in what's happening, the more you become part of the vision and the more you sense what God is doing. And so there's plenty of opportunities. We've got media department that's set up. If you're into media, we're going to have an editing suite set up so we can build our media. We want to set up our... We've got opportunities in the kitchen to just be involved. It's a great serving place. Setting up the communion. Help welcoming people at the door. Most important part of connecting. That shop front window when people walk in. Opportunities involved in youth ministry and children's ministry. Being a leader in the connect group. We're going to train you up how to be a leader. So you don't have to just do it cold turkey. You can actually go in and be trained up. This is our process. This is what we want to work on. And I believe that God is going to move powerfully in this place as we become purposeful in seeing people come into relationship with him. We're going to just stop right there and I'm going to ask our helpers to come forward. And we're going to take communion together as a church. But this is what I want us to do today. The communion is something we do weekly because it's a place where we take everything that we've talked about and we bring it back to the cross. And there's some stuff I've said here and some of you have gone, oh, yeah, always done that. Well, let me tell you, if you're thinking that right now, kick it out because that's a great way to stop vision. But say, God, what are you doing? Oh, I've done that before. If you've been like that, that's okay. You're probably a healthy one that doesn't need. But if you're saying, well, I want to be part of what God says, it's a journey, as my good friend keeps telling me, it's about seeing something new, something possibilities. I'm going to ask you, as you take this bread, which is a reminder of Jesus, he came to earth, he died and he rose again. And we're going to hand out a cup in a minute. It's a reminder of the sacrifice where he gave up his life so that you and I, and people in your community, your neighbour, your children, your workmates, might come into relationship with him. Hold them together. But as you do, can I ask you to make this prayer? As you hold it, reflect on Jesus. And say, Jesus, like Paul, I want to see the things I can't see, but I want to see the things that you see. Lord, I want to be part of a plan for eternity, not just a plan for tomorrow. Holy Spirit, would you reveal in us now a fresh vision? It might not be for the church right now. It might just be a fresh vision for yourself. It might be a fresh vision of Jesus. It might be a goal where you say, you know what? I want to move on more with God. I'm not happy. That's been my prayer for the last 3 months. God, I'm not happy with where I'm at. I want to push in closer to you. I want fresh relationship with you.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Kalamata Church of Christ. If you are inspired or challenged by this message, we hope that you will share it with a friend. And hey, let us know too. Find us at kalamatachurchofchrist.org.au. Also look for us on Twitter and Facebook.